Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 69.
This week on the podcast, committing murder is now officially legal in Florida.
And while carrying a concealed weapon in the Texas Statehouse may be fine, carrying a tampon is crossing the line.
And Canadian Senator Ted Cruz clearly begins his pre-presidential goodwill tour, not realizing he's in the wrong country.
Harry Reid revives talk of the nuclear option after previously agreeing it wasn't needed.
And a prominent conservative accidentally endorses the single-payer healthcare plan. Again.
Plus, seriously, what is going on with TV news?
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This is Brain Trust Live.
Well, it's a big news week for a lot of reasons.
Mainly.
You might think those reasons would be news-related reasons.
They're not.
But we're not talking about that.
No. We're both crippled right now, basically.
Yeah.
Lila.
This has been a really dangerous week for Brain Trust Live.
As you may have noticed on Instagram, if you're following us on there,
as
which
you should
if you're
be.
Not, you should be. It's Brain Trust Live. It's super easy.
It couldn't be any easier.
Same as Twitter.
Yeah. All of...
We're nothing if not consistent, basically.
We're easy to find on the internet.
Yes. But Lila is podcasting right now with a giant cast, a comical cast, because she broke her wrist in an ice skating incident.
She talked about
ice skating a lot, and this was sort of tragic in a way that is sort of embarrassing because there were no actual sort of like triple axels going on during the, incident.
No.
They were standing in place.
In my defense, was dizzy because I had been spinning.
Sure.
And
what you tell me is that you did a heroic scratch spin.
I did a really great
I wasn't there, so.
Centered scratch spin. I've been having issues centering my spins recently.
Well,
that's
sure.
a new problem I'm
yeah,
having.
That's a problem.
And I went and looked down at, you know, you tell if your spin's been centered by what the tracks on the ice look like.
Yeah.
So
well,
I went and looked down after finishing the spin and just fell.
Because you're not supposed to travel when you're doing that spin.
Right.
Right.
That's how you know, when you travel, your spin is not,
I always hate it when I'm watching figure skating and people are moving all over the place when they're spinning because that's wrong.
That's wrong.
You're not supposed to do
you're not supposed to do it at all.
No.
In any case, I was standing, doing absolutely nothing, trying to
You were admiring your tracks.
I was admiring my tracks. And it just fell. Just fell right down.
Yeah.
Didn't...
You were so flabbergasted with the awesomeness of your scratch then.
Exactly.
That you just were overcome.
It's like the time that I broke my nose skating and I was just skating forward.
Yeah, sure.
I've never hurt myself doing a trick.
Probably, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I just tripped on my toe pick, fell right into the boards. It was gross.
It happens.
But, yeah, I've never... And
when, you fell into the boards?
Yeah, that's when I broke my nose. And they teach you when you're young how to fall during a trick so that you don't hurt yourself.
Right.
You can use the momentum.
They don't teach you how to fall when you're standing upright.
When you're standing upright, not doing anything.
No.
And that was unfortunate because that's what happened to me
come
on
in
Friday.
Handy.
Exactly.
Anyway, so podcasting one-handed.
One-handed podcasting. Yeah.
Really.
And it's my dominant hand. It's my writing hand.
It is.
Right, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's.
We just had a, sort of a few,
a few
minor
dinner
incidents. While trying
it's hard
to eat.
To eat.
Too. Well, it's hard to do everything.
Yeah.
She can't drive.
Can't drive.
Which in Los Angeles
it's
is a real
shit show.
Disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm in a
Friend
sort
had
of
a sympathy
less,
break.
A sympathy break. In a sort of less dramatic way. I almost feel bad talking about it because Lila's in a cast and I'm just sort of complaining. Unnecessarily.
Well, you have a disgusting looking toe now.
I broke my toe. Well, I already had a disgusting looking toe because I have some toe fungus that I just can't really get taken care of. I've tried everything. And it's disgusting. I don't know why I just showed that.
Now the whole world knows.
The whole world. Well,
too many people know.
But it's. I thought that I broke it because I kicked the doorstop in the hotel room. I was at a wedding this weekend. And I was like, damn, that hurt. And then I drove back from San Diego where the wedding was. And I got out of the car. And I looked at my toe, and it's literally, it's black.
Yeah.
My whole toe is just like, it's dead. It looks like a dead toe.
His toe is not looking good.
It's not at all.
At least I don't have to look at my wrist.
That's true. I have it propped up, so we both have to look at it right now, which is sort of upsetting.
Exactly. Yeah. That's...
But anyway, podcasting is a dangerous business, people.
It's dangerous.
Not just anyone can do this.
No, and we want you to know that this is some extra heroic podcasting we're doing
today.
We could
easily... Called off the dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
But here we are.
We had to pull stories left-handed.
Lila had to pull, one-handed stories on our...
If you can believe that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of dangers out there that we don't often get a chance to discuss on the podcast. Because we're not in the business of reporting on things you can trip on. But as it turns out...
No.
You can break a bone on ice or on land at any moment. And that's what you should take away from this tale of woe, if anything.
And one danger... don't trip. One danger that we haven't really talked a lot about on the podcast, at least recently, because it's been a story that has been just... It's overtaken cable news. So I have just
I've been actively...
We've been actively not talking about it, but now that we have a verdict, we have to talk about it. Yeah. But one... The danger is being black in Florida, apparently. Or anywhere, potentially. But
definitely harder to avoid than tripping.
It is. Yes.
Unless you aren't black, and then you can avoid it easily.
But just yesterday, as the whole world knows...
Right. If you don't know, then
except
you have no business listening to a news podcast.
My roommate. Earlier in the week, I had to explain the entire George Zimmerman case to my roommate.
Remember when we used to report on this case, and we could talk about Geraldo Rivera's anti-hoodie crusade?
Well, I know. There were a lot of...
In the old days, we reported on this.
We did, back when... Back when it happened.
When it wasn't just some sleazy courtroom drama.
No. Which
we hate courtroom
drama. Everyone has been covering.
Oh,
like,
God.
To the point where, like, I mean, I expect it of CNN, and I certainly expect it of Fox News, but... And I guess, sort of, I shouldn't be as shocked that MSNBC is doing it, too, because their ratings are in the shitter right now.
Right.
So,
they just sort of went with it as well.
But, yesterday, the jury found George Zimmerman not guilty.
Unbelievable.
And I was telling Lila all week that, because I made a pretty solid prediction last week, I'm going to make another one later.
Right.
Too. So look Brent forward to that.
Brent is psychic, if you didn't know
psychic.
About this. He's never gotten one of these predictions wrong.
I declared, based on no information last week, that the Rick Perry's big news conference that he was going to have on Monday was that he was not going to be running for governor in 2014.
And that is...
Which was correct.
Exactly
what
happened.
And I, in last week's podcast, really meant to declare that George Zimmerman was going to be found not guilty. And I was hoping to be able to do it this week. I mean, I wasn't hoping to. I wouldn't have hoped that at all, but I just saw it coming.
But you're...
Because I'm psychic.
You're a psychic, and so you were...
Or I'm not, because I feel like a lot of people saw it coming. But anyway, it happened, and it's just freaking... It really boggles the mind.
It's boggled the mind to such a degree that it's really... I mean, it's nearly caused riots in, like, multiple cities. Like, people are not happy about this. Because it basically legalizes murder. It legalizes white people killing black people in Florida.
Well, it really does. And the problem is that... And I have been saying this to people because I was actually at a wedding last night. And I was with... a dear friend of mine who is African American, and he was obviously... I told him.
Right.
Because I was looking at my phone, and he was like, I just got chills.
Yeah.
And I said, I was like, you know, that was probably always going to be the verdict. And I just... The thing that I hope is that people's anger doesn't get misplaced, because people should be angry. They should be furious.
Yeah.
And I understand why people of color are going to be angry and are going to think that it's a race issue. And I think
it is.
But that's why they are. But I think, and actually Bloomberg said this morning too.
Yeah.
I think Stand Your Ground has to go. And this is a law that sort of like ALEC has written.
Yeah.
A lot of states have taken this law on. And the problem is that law, because under Florida state law, the jury really probably got this right, which is what's tragic.
Well,
the fact that the jury had to vote this way is what's upsetting.
There was a case in which there was a legitimate option to vote this way.
Well,
it's
right.
bonkers.
Well, exactly, and that's
because
what I mean.
If you think about it, I mean, basically, what this law enables is for people to go around baselessly shooting each other, and for there to be no other witness, because the other witness in this case is dead.
Correct.
So he doesn't have a chance to sort of plead his side of the story, and we'll never know what really happened.
Well, and that's the thing. The fact that there were no eyewitnesses, and the fact that we only sort of have various different people who, you know, were either calls to 911 or this or, you know, whatever, is the fact that, you know, Trayvon Martin could have had the opportunity to invoke the Stand Your Ground law, because the two of them were in a fight.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they were in a fight.
But
we know that much.
Yeah.
There were injuries. But, I mean, just the fact that the two of them were in a fight, and we have... I mean, it's sort of like... It's like the Old West, basically. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just sort of like, well, he looked at me sideways, so I fucking shot him in the face. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Well,
and terrible. I mean, I don't want to... No, we're not trying to make comedy out of this. I mean, it's really upsetting.
I think ultimately this law is going to be found unconstitutional because it enables you... I mean, the Department of Justice is looking into it now. The NAACP this morning requested that.
Right.
Because it blatantly violates the civil rights of somebody else.
It does.
You can't pass laws that blatantly violate other people's constitutional rights.
No, you can't.
And Trayvon Martin's constitutional rights were violated because he was executed without a jury. I mean, without a court, you know, case, without being able to plead his side of the story, which in this case was just essentially a claim that he was looking at someone sideways, which may or may not have even been true.
Right. Well, and the insane part about this whole story is that obviously a fight ensued. We know that. And under the Stand Your Ground law, that's ultimately why he got off. But the problem is, I mean, one of the many problems with this case is that he put himself into the sort of situation where he actually had to get into a fight because he called the police prior to leaving his car and getting into a confrontation with Trayvon Martin. Well, and the police officers told him to not do that. But he did it anyway. So once he got out of his car and then there was a confrontation, it doesn't matter at that point because...
Right, because if you're... you can't cause confrontations just so you can shoot people randomly in the
street. But
that's
what he did.
I know.
He caused a confrontation to be able to shoot him.
This is what I think is... Fred's kicking things. This is what I think makes, for me, this verdict maybe not seem as clear-cut under the law, is that it depends on where you start the story. If you decide that once they were in the fight, he was, you know, Stand Your Ground allows him to shoot Trayvon Martin, that's one thing. If you decide, though, that he caused the fight, then... Essentially, he was the attacker, and he was not under attack. Because he could have stayed in his car, and none of this would have happened.
Well, that's the thing.
You know? Even, as a jury member, like, I can see sort of, like, where the way the law is written, you might say, you know, you might see that, like, once a fight has broken out, one of the parties could claim that they felt under attack. But you can't go around causing fights to then shoot people later when you feel threatened after you've started fighting them.
No.
That's not a legitimate use of the Stand Your Ground law, in my opinion.
I wouldn't think
so. Or any, you know, sane person's opinion, except the people of Florida who obviously feel that this is a... But this just sort of legalizes something we don't want, you know?
Obviously.
I don't know why people in Florida would think, well, this seems like a good... This is safety at its finest. Like, this is a crazy vigilante in a neighborhood that was uncomfortable with his degree of paranoia. Because his neighborhood watch thing was sort of like a self-made, you know, a self-appointed job. Like, he wasn't, like, working for law enforcement or anything like that. He was just watching the neighborhood of his own accord. But this legalizes murdering people in cold blood.
Yeah.
Which, does Florida really want to have to deal with that? Do they want it to be legal for people to murder each other in cold blood there? Because if they do, just make it legal to fucking murder people in cold blood. That's essentially what this does.
That's what we've done.
The problem here... is that this law, as it's being interpreted, only seems to make it legal for white people to murder black people in cold blood.
Well, because that's the thing.
A woman, you know, HuffPo reminded us this morning that a few months ago, a woman got sentenced to 20 years in prison in Florida. She was an African-American woman for firing warning shots because her husband was attacking her.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even shoot anybody. She gets 20 years in jail.
Yeah.
So apparently, if you don't shoot anybody, it's fair game to send you to jail. If you shoot the person, though, and you're white and they're black... then you were just protecting yourself.
Yes. And it's not only is that true, but I saw, and there was some crazy reaction to this, but Mark O'Mara, the defense attorney, made some comment that a lot of people thought was sort of bombastic, and I sort of felt like was absolutely 100% true. After the trial was over, he said that if George Zimmerman was black, then he wouldn't have gotten charged with anything. Now, I think that he was sort of saying it in one way, but I think that had it been one black person shooting another black person, nobody would have cared.
Well, they wouldn't have gotten any news coverage.
Which is sort
of... We wouldn't even know that it had happened.
Which is another sort of sad fact about the story, I think, basically, because it wouldn't have been because they wouldn't have wanted to charge him. It would have just have been because nobody cared.
Nobody would have cared, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And this, ultimately, this verdict isn't going to change the realities of, you know, of who else gets away with murder just because people don't care. It's just going to make it possible for a bunch of enfranchised people to shoot a bunch of disenfranchised people and for no one to care about that either.
Yes. Well, and you would hope that a verdict like this would make people so uncomfortable that they would be able to get in there and change some of these laws in these state legislatures. I don't know that it will necessarily, because I think that a lot of people who are sort of, you know, those sort of like, you know, gun-toting conservatives will probably think that justice was served here. But to a certain degree, those gun-toting conservatives also, you know, don't want shot to death. Well, for no reason.
The other thing
I wish that people would realize that it's like, you know, sure, we can sit here and argue about whether you have a Second Amendment right to a gun or not.
Right.
But you don't have the right to just go around murdering people.
No, exactly.
But apparently you do.
I mean, you do in Florida.
You do.
Here's what I think is probably the saving grace of this circumstance. I'm happy that this didn't happen in Texas. Because in Texas, I think there's a legitimate chance that this law would stay on the books, that no one would say anything about it, and that we would all just be like, well, it's just legal to murder people in Texas. What can you do? Florida's a fairly evenly divided state. They're not all gun-toting wackos in that state.
No.
There's going to be a major backlash about this in Florida, and so it's going to become a conversation. In Texas, it wouldn't have been a conversation.
Yeah.
Everyone would have been like, well, of course white people are allowed to shoot black people. That's what our state was made on. You know, that's what our state was founded on.
That's what we do.
Shooting people of color. That's what we do here. But right. In Florida, that's not going to fly quite as easily. It might fly in Miami, because there's a conservative sort of like group there that's concerned about revolution, so they are kind of gun nuts. It's going to fly in northern Florida because
which is
the South. It's not going to fly in central and most of southern Florida because the old Jewish people are not going to be into this.
No, huh?
This is not.
People at Disneyland aren't into
it. People
at Disneyland don't want murdered.
No, exactly.
The happiest place on earth.
Exactly.
They don't want to get shot there.
Disney doesn't want you to get murdered. Probably there's better law enforcement at this point in Disneyland, in Disney World, than there is.
I would assume that's outside probably of it. Accurate.
Orlando itself is a shit show.
Yeah.
But Disney World is probably the safest part of Florida at this point because there's so much security.
Yeah.
Probably the only place where you're not allowed to shoot someone randomly.
It's just, I don't know. The whole thing is just, it's just
so
really,
disappointing.
It's really disappointing and it's really upsetting. And my crazy aunt who likes to post things about, you know, I mean, various insane things. But I mean, she was posting about, you know, about how, you know, justice was served and this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. And it's just sort of like, you know, and she's also sort of like one who I could just see sort of like, talking about the angry black man and blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just sort of like, well, shit like that happens. This happens.
You wonder why people get angry. This is it.
You know, it's a fucking lifetime of this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there you go.
Yeah, problem explained.
You know, the black man gets to be angry for a while right now. Yeah. And if they want to protest, and if they want to be mad, and they want to call people names, then...
That's...
God bless them.
That's life. Yeah.
That's what you get when shit like this happens.
Yeah. Well, it's just sort of like, kind of, after the DOJ verdict, too. This is just sort of like...
Well, I know. Racism is supposedly over.
Racism...
As we found out from the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court told us that racism was over. Apparently, a panel of 16 women in Florida are not good indicators of whether or not racism is over.
Six.
It was six? I thought it was 16.
No, six. Which is another thing that we were just talking about at this... Six women. Six people on the jury.
That's it?
Six.
Aren't there supposed to be double that many people?
Yes, correct. Not in Florida.
What happened to 12 angry men?
Nope, six.
Well, it couldn't have been...
Six.
Where did they find these six women?
Unangry
Alabama?
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah.
They import six angry women from somewhere crazy and gun-toting?
Perhaps. I don't know. Weird.
God.
Yeah.
There's really nothing... This is going to be one of the... things that I think gets people sort of like riled up again about guns.
I think it has to.
And I think it's probably, I think There's no way that the DOJ looks at this and is like, yeah, Florida's allowed to pass that law. Like, there's just no way that you're allowed to have a law that blatantly gives people the right to violate other people's civil rights.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think I was actually listening to on my drive home today. I was listening to MSNBC, and I don't remember which commentator it was. But, I mean, I think that since, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk about gun violence and gun laws since the Sandy Hook tragedy. And she was saying that, you know, the media has sort of done a good job of, you know, covering other gun deaths since that happened. And I think that what so many people sort of forget is that, I mean, obviously he was 17, but I mean, his family's pain is the same pain that all of those people felt after their children died at Sandy Hook. And it's regardless...
His family's pain is the same as white people's family's pain when they lose a child.
Regardless of race, like, a child died.
Yeah.
And you can say sort of whatever you want about Trayvon Martin. I mean, that's completely beside the point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he was 17 and had a future, and he doesn't anymore.
Exactly. And Florida just became the most awful state in the union.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We talked a lot last week about states that were competing for that, but Florida wasn't even on the list.
Florida really came through in a tight spot.
Yeah, they really did. Came from behind.
Came from behind.
Really.
Uh-huh. This is what makes America great.
Brought their game face this
week. Texas was trying.
Texas was on the list.
Because Texas was sort of the major catalyst of last week's news of horrible states.
Yeah, basically we had an hour and a half long podcast about abortion.
Exactly. And Texas passed their abortion law.
Yes.
That the Democrats there tried to filibuster. Mm-hmm. They also, however, started confiscating tampons and maxi pads because people were, I guess, they were considered potential projectiles at the Capitol.
But you know what's not projectiles?
Guns.
Bullets. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. No, yeah. They weren't confiscating guns,
no,
but they were
those you were allowed to have.
Tampons.
I think the legitimate question here
that
I heard asked a lot, but I think it's important to repeat, is whether or not wearing a tampon constitutes concealed weapon.
Well,
concealed weapon.
Obviously. If a tampon is a weapon and you have one whatever the word is. Yes.
Then
I think it is.
It's a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
So this
You'd be arrested for that?
This criminalizes being a woman in a whole different way.
No.
They had already tried to criminalize it as best they could by essentially making the one biological imperative a woman has illegal. But when they couldn't go with that, just even having your period suddenly becomes a criminal act.
Yeah.
Unto itself.
Yeah.
Which is, similar to Arizona, is also basically criminalized.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Being a woman to this degree, because there you're just pregnant, whatever happens. You're pregnant right now in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be pregnant in California, but you are pregnant right now in Arizona.
Once you cross the border.
Pregnancy, right away.
Yeah.
Get away with a lot of fatty food eating. Meanwhile, Canadian Senator Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Is all but declaring his candidacy for president because he's now hanging out in New Hampshire and is planning to make a tour of other primary states.
Yeah. He's already been to Iowa.
Right.
Right, I think.
Yeah.
And I welcome this. I welcome every second of this. I welcome it for comedy purposes.
Yes.
I welcome it for, you know, I think that the, so many, I think that, like, he's never going to win the nomination, but I think that it always bodes well for Democrats in a presidential election when Republicans like Ted Cruz run for president and end up in the debates and end up sort of like as someone who is going to be liked by the base. I mean, he will probably do okay in some of these primaries.
Well, and what's even better about him is that however popular he becomes, it would be such a challenge for them to argue that he's able to be president.
Well, right.
That would just dominate every, like, his, they would never really be able to talk about issues. Democrats would own the issues-based discussions because the whole discussion would be about whether or not Ted Cruz can actually run for president.
Right,
because he's
Canadian.
The answer is no.
Correct.
According to the Constitution as it's been interpreted up until this moment.
Especially after we've had, like, an entire 8 years
of discussing whether or not Obama was born in Kenya.
Exactly.
Because right. Ted Cruz was...
Was born in Canada, and we know that he was
documented
born in Canada.
Born in Canada.
Right, that's where Ted Cruz is from.
It's also documented that he only became a U.S. citizen in 2005. So all of the documentation...
Right. We don't even really need to have the discussion.
No. The discussion... But so, that discussion is going to make it so that it's just Funny Farm. Yeah. Like, there's going to be no yeah. content.
Well, on top of the Funny Farm that is Ted Cruz already.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing not funny about Ted Cruz to begin with.
Uh-uh. Yeah, so...
It can only get funnier from here, though.
Yeah, for so many reasons, this is a great plan.
This is a great sign.
For everybody.
Yeah.
For and Democrats.
We welcome
for his comedians, for podcasters, his contributions. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He only just became a senator in January.
Well, I know. But the thing is, that's... He sort of has, like,
He's trying to pull the Obama...
That's what I was going to say. Plan. Our current president was only...
Yeah. Now, I... would argue, however, that Obama was qualified to run for president at the time that he started running, and that really helped him run for president, was the fact that the discussions about whether or not he was qualified were baseless and racist and sort of blatantly so,
yes.
Whereas the ones that discuss Ted Cruz's qualifications are going to be legitimate questions.
Yeah, I just think that in the same way the Rick Santorums and the Michelle Bachmans and the... you know, other sort of, like, loony bin inhabitants of the Republican Party, I think ultimately hurt Romney's chances in this last election. People like Ted Cruz will hurt whoever the eventual nominee,
like,
who will not be
drier
him.
Candidate
right,
is.
You know, whether he will hurt the sort of Chris Christie's of the world. Whether, and maybe it won't be Chris Christie, but
I would
just,
argue, is one of the Funny Farm candidates.
I agree, but I mean, just... he's sort of, he's more palatable than Ted Cruz is.
Sure.
So I just, people like Ted Cruz,
oh my God.
People like Ted Cruz hurt the palatability of people like Chris Christie.
How exciting would it be if Chris Christie was the palatable alternative?
He might be.
That would be a great
There
race.
Was just a poll recently that I saw of Hillary versus Chris Christie that was just recent.
It's like the worst combination of people.
Yeah. Oh, also, we have further proof that Hillary Clinton is running for president.
Haircut.
Because she just got a terrible haircut.
What a bad haircut.
Oh my God,
holy
she got
moly.
The world's
Hillary.
Worst haircut. She got a haircut that, you know that she's running for president because she got a haircut wherein her hair is unable to move.
Yes. It's an immobile hair, much like my wrist.
Yes,
her
exactly.
hair's been immobilized.
Yeah, and that's when you know that you're running for president, because now she can do all of that campaigning, and she can just go for days and days and days. And
not
she
have to see a hairstylist once.
She doesn't have to worry about her hair.
Speaking of hair, this has been one of the big challenges of having a broken wrist.
Oh, can we tell people what you did today?
Yeah, today I went to get a haircut, specifically so that I could get my hair washed and put into a ponytail. I also made our podcast BFF, Jill, come over and put my hair in a ponytail, and I had my next-door neighbor do it earlier.
She has a very comedic-looking, like, top
bun. Right on the top of my head, yeah. And it's not going anywhere, because I'm not taking it out until I absolutely have to.
Oh, God.
But these are the things that no one tells you about breaking your arm.
Lila may also be running for president.
Yeah.
Based on her haircut right now.
Because
it's not going anywhere. That bun.
Gone. And it doesn't look that secure, but it's very secure.
I believe you.
Yeah.
But anyway, Hillary Clinton.
Me and
running
Hillary
for president
Clinton,
in 2016.
Both running for president. if hairstyles
based
are
on
to be
recent
trusted.
Hairstyles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's just so terrible.
It's so bad.
Oh, God.
Like.
And you know what? I hate to say this because old men have been running for president since the dawn of time. She's starting to look really old.
Well, here's the problem, is she aged like 30 years in her first week as Secretary of State, and has not aged back yet.
Well, that's because she was working, so God bless her.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it's great, but women don't get away with looking stately in old age the way that men do. It's
no,
a sad but true...
That's sad.
It's sexism.
Yes, that's sexism, that's right.
But that's
ageism.
Ageism. But men don't get held up to that standard, because John McCain can run around being 1,000 years old,
oh
having
God.
A giant
a tumor
giant hanging off
on
of his
neck.
You know, neck, and then that's somehow fine.
Yeah.
A man who was stupid enough to crash 4 different planes. But that's fine, because he's wise at that age. Hillary Clinton's going to be old at that age.
Yeah.
John McCain was wise.
Yeah.
Wise with the knowledge that comes from being stupid for so many years. He's tried every bad idea at least once before.
Yep.
And he hasn't learned from most of them.
I was going to say, no, No, he hasn't.
Other breaking news.
Oh, yeah. Just as of
last night. Yeah.
Basically. Cory Monteith.
Dead.
From Glee is dead. Which is sad, certainly.
I mean, he was... Certainly sad for...
He was 31.
People.
I mean, it's all
friends
signs
and family.
Probably point to drugs of some sort.
He has some sort
found.
Of...
He's been in and out of rehab for a long time.
Habit,
he's
right?
had a he's had a drug and alcohol problem, yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that till last night, but now I'm very caught up. That's
something
I learned based on the coverage. They don't have any actual details of what happened, and it was in Canada.
Yes.
So that's he could have just died of boredom.
Terrible. Take it back.
No. Yeah. I will not.
Anyway, so
That's Glee fans will have to have something.
Well, he's already been replaced.
No.
Adam Lambert.
What?
He hasn't been replaced, obviously. But they just announced.
It'll be like in Roseanne in the early years where that daughter replaced by a different person.
Or not Debbie.
I don't know.
What was her name? What was the...
I can't remember. I know that Sarah Chalk came in for a while.
Yeah, Sarah Chalk.
And then someone else, the other girl came back after a while.
I can't remember.
It got replaced. She got replaced twice.
Correct.
Because I think one of them went to college.
Yes.
And then when she came back from college, she took the part again.
Yeah.
Which is a real mystery.
I love that show.
That's a great show. That show holds up, too.
It does.
That's one of the great
shows
that holds up.
They have marathons of that on Wii.
Oh, yeah.
Also, this is the second podcast in a row where we've talked about Wii TV. Because last week we talked about pregnant and dating.
Oh, right. yes.
Oh, God, Wii TV really just...
Bad television.
Part of pop culture.
I watched 10 minutes of that Tia and Tamara show on Style Network today.
Nope, don't do that.
It was a bad idea, and I regret it now.
No, you can't do that. Earlier this week, my mom was... My parents are always making bad television choices, but there's nothing on in the summer, which we all know. It's why I'm watching Big Brother right now.
Right.
However, I love Big Brother. But she and I were chatting on Facebook, and she was like, "What's Juliana and Bill about?" And I was like, "Nope.
Don't ask.
Shut it down.
Right.
that can't be happening.
You know enough.
I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to tell you that you cannot watch that.
Right.
You just don't do it.
I saw a promo for that today. I'm still not sure what it's about myself, and I'm
not about
certain I don't care.
They're married, and they have a reality show.
Yeah.
Period.
The end of...
That's it.
Here's a question, while we're on the subject of reality TV.
Uh-huh.
What is this scratch and sniff Honey Boo Boo situation?
Oh, God. I'm so excited for this. I posted on my Facebook earlier a picture. I have my...
Scratch
my magazine, yes. You can get it in, I believe, People Magazine or Us Weekly. And you get a card where Honey Boo Boo walks you through what you're supposed to do, basically. And the premiere is on Wednesday of the new season. And there is a scratch and sniff card.
And that is so worrying.
In various different times of the show, there are going to be points where you are supposed to scratch a specific thing. And you're going to be able to smell whatever it is that is happening on that show. And... There have been a lot of terrible smells on that show because there was like one time where they played a game where they were all trying to guess whose breath was blowing in their face, where they like closed their eyes and then like someone breathed on them because they all have their own sort of like brand of terrible breath. They also obviously are belching and farting like nobody's business.
Yeah.
There was a pig,
there was a pet pig,
Glitzy for a while. And they also eat a lot of terrible things. I'm assuming that one of the scratch and sniff things is going to be sketty, which is spaghetti where the sauce is ketchup and butter.
Whoa.
I'm assuming but that's going to be happening, and that's happening this week on Wednesday, and I am super excited for it because I love that show. I was actually just at a birthday party where I was discussing that because someone commented on the fact that I had posted that on Facebook. I really love that show. I think it's great. I love all of them. I love Honey Boo Boo. I think she's very smart and precocious. I think they're great. There's the gay uncle. They're all very accepting. If Honey Boo Boo is the future of America, then I'm more okay about that than I am a lot of other people being the future of America.
Well, fair enough. I mean, she's not okay with Sketty becoming a national dish.
National dish. No, you don't want that at all.
No.
But they are a lovely family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are they being mocked on television? Sure.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Is it hilarious for me to watch? Yeah. And that's what I like. That's why I watch it. That's why TV exists.
Yes. That's why TV... That's why reality TV exists.
Well, right. Yeah.
These days.
Maybe not originally
it's original
intended for such purposes, but... Anyway.
Anyway, moving on to totally unrelated topics.
Yeah.
There was a weird moment this week where the VP of Public Policy at FreedomWorks sort of accidentally endorsed a single-payer plan.
Well, conservatives are doing this all the time.
I know.
We have brought you various stories about conservatives actually talking about either how great a single-payer plan is or how great Obamacare is. Yeah.
And not knowing it.
They don't know that they're doing
he
it.
Was referencing, he was referencing a military health plan that military members love, apparently, that provides government health care for
right,
free.
Right, sure.
Yes. And
well, this is a thing that, I mean, we have talked about. So many people talk about, like, how, you know, people don't want government to be making their health care decisions, forgetting that the government runs Medicare and Medicaid, forgetting right. that the government runs the VA system, which runs very well.
Essentially forgetting that they do want the government to make their health care decisions.
Right, because they're best equipped to make their healthcare decisions,
the one
basically.
Body that they don't want to make their healthcare decisions
the
is a private
companies.
Company.
Yeah, exactly.
The government is them. The government is all of us. So if yeah. the government is making the decisions, that just means we collectively are making the decisions.
right.
That's different than allowing a profit incentive yes. at a private company to make the
yeah.
decisions.
If your healthcare currently sucks, it's because it's from a profit system and not coming from the
not
government.
Coming from the government, exactly. So in any case, as it turns out, all people, whether or not they be conservative, love it when they have government health care. And many of them, basically, he was using it as an example of something that works better than Obamacare.
Well, this
which
is...
Which I would agree with.
I was going to say, you and I have talked about this before, that if anything comes from the potential disaster of Obamacare, which I don't think is going to be as big of a disaster as a
no,
lot
I think
of people
it's gonna
saying,
be great.
And I think it'll be fine. But if it becomes as tragic as conservatives would like you to think that it's going to be...
Right, the answer is not going to be to do nothing. It's going to
be a single-payer plan.
The answer is going to be a single-payer plan.
Because that's the only other thing to do,
yeah.
other than nothing.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing. There's what we're about to start with Obamacare, and then there's single-payer. I mean, those
and
are
while
sort,
Republicans
those
would
are
love
sort of
to
your
do
options.
Nothing, I don't think that the American... Whatever happens with Obamacare, it's going to make it clear that something could be better.
Correct.
It may not actually work out to be better, but the it's not like everyone's sitting around being like, God, I really just don't want health insurance and they're forcing me to buy it.
That's
they're sitting around and thinking, oh, God, I really can't afford health insurance and they're forcing
right.
me to buy it. The difference there is that once they're forced to buy it and they have it and realize how awesome it is to have health care. Because when I went to the ER with this broken arm, I was not thinking about how much it was going to cost me. I was not thinking about, oh, my God, should I go to the ER at all because it's not that serious a break
right.
and I'm not really sure if it's broken yet and I'm not, you know. I didn't think about any of that. As soon as I thought it was broken, I was like, we're going to the hospital. I have, you know, I am concerned because I have a private health insurance company that there'll be weird costs that come up because there always are.
Obviously.
But
just the fact that you went to the ER is going to be
it's going
to
be a billion dollars.
Tragedy, yeah.
But it wasn't like I couldn't access care. Like, the sort of, like, weight off my mind of knowing that I would be able to get care.
Yes.
Was such a difference. Can you imagine going to the ER and knowing that when the ER sends you home without setting your wrist because they want you to go see a specialist, that you aren't going to be able to afford to go see one?
Exactly.
Like, the ER is your only shot.
Right.
You know? I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
It would be terrible. So, that's going to
yeah.
be...
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. And once they're forced to buy insurance that they can't afford, they're at least going to be able to do that. And then they're going to be like, well, I don't want to go back to not being able to get any health care.
Right.
They're going to want a single-payer plan. Just like Dean Clancy of the public FreedomWorks wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say, go for it.
Great.
Sell us. Sell America on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
FreedomWorks. Be our guest.
God.
We've been trying. Meanwhile, the filibuster was in the news again.
Thank God.
It's like, I'm getting a little annoyed with Harry Reid.
With
Harry Reid about it, because I feel like he keeps talking it up, backing down, and then he'll talk it up again, but in a less dramatic fashion, like, months later. And then, like, now we're arguing over whether or not they need to, a simple majority can pass these freaking nominees.
Yeah.
Not even legislation, which is who gives a shit about the nominees?
Yeah.
I want them to be able to pass legislation.
Yeah.
And Harry Reid's now saying that, well, maybe we might have to resort to the nuclear option to get these nominees, you know, passed, which is like...
Nobody cares about the judicial nominees.
Are we
really...
But, like, are we really going to hold up the Senate? Are the Republicans really going to hold up... They are, but, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, just pass the damn nominees. This is not
yes.
a time to play that kind of politics.
Correct.
We know that for them, stacking the judicial system has been very successful. If there's one thing we know, yes. it's that the Supreme Court is a sham, and that's largely thanks to the GOP. However, this is just like a being against allowing the nuclear option for passing nominees is just like poor sportsmanship.
Agreed.
It's just like bullshit. Yeah. Like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... This is not the business that I want them to be discussing.
No.
I just want them to be passing this shit and moving on.
I agree. But Harry Reid sort of, you know, doesn't have much... Doesn't have any legs to stand on in this fight. Because...
Well, he gave up his legs.
He
could have changed the rules at the beginning of the session and then decided not to. And now he's trying to do it again mid-session. Right. And everyone's like, no.
Yeah. And also, he sort of already gave a shit deal on the filibuster. Yeah. I mean, we
talk about this all the time. Don't give a shit deal, because that's the last deal you'll get.
That's it. I mean, the Republicans are just going to be like, well, we already discussed changes to the rules. I can see that was my Mitch McConnell, which was terrible. But, I mean, Mike, that was my best.
I think it was a great Mitch McConnell.
That was my best sort of, like, old man, like, just terrible voice. But, I mean, like, there's not, you know, you fucked it up once already, Harry Reid. So, I mean, I hope that you do go nuclear, whatever the that means, but right. you screwed this up once.
Yeah.
So
I don't trust you to not screw it up again.
No.
All I trust is that this is somehow going to get the Republicans' base all, you know, riled up about something stupid.
Right.
This is stupid.
Big time.
I don't want the rest of the Senate session to be spent arguing about nominees. No. I want them to at least be arguing about legislation that we can hold them to later. Right now, they don't want to vote on anything so that they don't have to have taken votes on anything. But, like, I don't want this to be what they do now. It's the only body that's passing anything anywhere. You know, the House is passing crazy things.
Yeah.
They're useless. At least the Senate was sort of working together to pass some things.
Yeah.
They're bad. You know, they weren't doing a great job. But at least they passed a legislation bill. It was a stupid bill. But, you know, they're doing something.
Yeah.
The House is not doing anything helpful. It's like they've gone totally rogue. If the Senate just wastes the next, you know, the rest of the term on this nonsense, then nothing's functioning.
Correct.
We're just repealing Obamacare every day.
All branches of government.
And all branches of government have shut down. God forbid that we need a budget or something. God forbid a program need to be renewed.
No, we don't. We
certainly can't do that. No. But anyway, Mitch McConnell's been all out talking out of his ass about it, too. They're all making...
Well, Mitch McConnell is doing the best that he can do to sort of rile up his base right now because, I don't think we have this on here, but I was reading an article the other day about how... Oh, well, first off, there's various parts of the story, but we posted on our Facebook page...
Hilarious!
One of the most hilarious campaign videos that has ever been made. Perhaps, I'm going to say...
In time.
The most hilarious campaign video ever by Mitch McConnell's people, which was sort of like this weird... Sort of like music video that was auto-tuned, that didn't make any sense, that had like text that looks like it was made in like some sort of like dumpy video program of some sort.
It looks like it was made by an iPhone program that makes, that like Songify made it or something.
Yes, Songify. And it was Mitch McConnell, and it was like about Allison Lundgren Grimes, who is running against him, who is the attorney general, I think, right?
Yeah, I think she's attorney general.
And, you should go watch it. It's on our Facebook page. Yeah. It really is just sort of like the most hilarious thing you've ever seen. It's terrible.
So bad.
But there was an article about how, I guess the Democratic, I think it was the senatorial committee or campaign or whatever, sort of like does their fundraiser or whatever, where like all the big donors come and all the potential nominees and all the people who are running or whatever. And I guess she gave some talk and everybody was just like, flabbergasted with how amazing she was, and sort of like all of these sort of like insider operatives sort of like felt like she had no prayer until they like literally like heard her speak.
Right.
I guess that she was awesome, and so everybody is now sort of like back thinking that maybe
she's
that's his seat in play. So
I hope his seat is in play.
I mean, you know, Kentucky elects Democrats every once in a while, and he's not necessarily liked. He's certainly not even necessarily liked by his base, if anything. Yeah. I mean, his problem is his base. It's not any... It's not
he's just sort of not... He's got a job where he's got to play to the middle a little too much.
Right.
They don't like him for that. He's kind of ineffective just as a human being.
Well, he looks weird.
He looks weird. He sounds old.
Yeah.
Just up to no good.
Yeah. Yes.
But, anyway. In any case, there's a lot that's going on with Mitch McConnell outside. of the nuclear option issue.
Which
and
I
all of it's hilarious.
Right, and I have a feeling that in the next couple years, we're going to be seeing a lot. I mean, Mitch McConnell has been historically terrible. I think we're probably going to get a lot more terribleness from Mitch McConnell just to sort of shore up, you
whatever
know, all of the terrible people in Kentucky who are going to, because he's probably going to get primaried, if I had to guess. I don't know if he is.
I don't know what's going on with his side of the election.
I don't either.
I know, we've been talking a long time about...
There was concern about somebody running against him in a primary, but I don't know what's come of that. We'll look into that for you.
We'll know soon.
Yeah. But anyway.
But there's other exciting election news and other exciting just general appointment news.
Yes.
Because Napolitano is leaving.
Yes.
And now, apparently, the Obama administration is considering appointing Ray Kelly to her position.
Wow.
To Homeland Security. Ray Kelly was he was Giuliani's police chief.
Right.
He's an asshole. He was the guy that basically, put New York City under martial law for a lot of Giuliani's term. He's a real hard ass, and he wasn't that effective. And New Yorkers don't have good memories of him. There are other police chiefs that people do feel really... It's not like New Yorkers always say they're police chief.
Sure.
But Ray Kelly is sort of, not... He's a foe of civil rights. So, this is not... And he also was doing a lot of, spying on Muslims for
reason. That was his whole thing. He was a big sort of proponent of Muslim racial profiling.
Racial profiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe in this... In the current moment that we're in, where racism seems to be having a resurgence, he would not be the most awesome select for a Homeland Security advisor.
No.
Or a person who had...
But it was Schumer who put his name in
fucking
for
fucking Schumer.
Chuck Schumer is not always...
Stop yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
A
lot of times.
Most times. Generally, what you're thinking is not correct, and you should stop thinking it. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, no, don't.
Don't be the guy that decides that Ray Kelly should be the Homeland Security chief.
No.
That's some real insidery corrupt BS, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But also, in the New York universe, Elliot Spitzer is back.
He's back.
Back.
Oh,
so now, we have Anthony Weiner running for mayor. We have Elliot Spitzer running for comptroller.
Everything.
Everything that's hilarious and great about New York City is happening right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are sort of up in arms about how many adulterers and other sex scandal people are running for office. I'm real excited that the two guys that I feel like were the sleaziest but most effective...
That's what...
Politicians are making a comeback, even if they're doing it in the same year, even if Spitzer's only doing it because he can't stand to be out of the public eye. He wasn't a great governor, but he was a great attorney general. I think he'd probably be a good comptroller. This is sort of in his wheelhouse. And...
No, city comptroller is, he is, perfect. It's like a job that he sort of should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. He's running against Scott Stringer, who I used to really love, but now I'm in a big fight with his office.
Yeah, you had a falling out.
I had a falling out with his chief of staff. Yeah. I still like Scott Stringer.
Sure.
Himself, as a person. He's a nice guy. But I'm not aligned with his office anymore.
I am of the mind that I just don't, and, we've talked about this sort of already, but, I don't give a flying fuck about either of these two scandals.
No.
I really just don't.
They're
I
both
don't
stupid.
Care about, I just think that they're...
I do want to make it clear that Wiener sex scandal is so... not important compared to Spitzer's. Spitzer's,
right.
I don't care about. It's not my business if he's sleeping with hookers. He's running against the madam who outed him basically anyway. That race is already crazy. There's a madam running against them as well. The whole thing is bonkers.
Yeah.
But I do want it to be clear that I think that Spitzer's, that Wiener's sex scandal is so unimportant.
Well, it's not even a sex scandal. We can't call it a sex scandal. It was a sexless scandal.
That I don't think that it's fair to, throw him in league with Spitzer.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
I'm still furious he resigned. I'm still furious that it had to be some big deal. I recognize that he was sleeping. I get that that's not, real upstanding behavior. But I also sort of am I don't care.
Well, and that's the thing. And I don't necessarily, when I say that I don't care, I care in the sense that, I don't like that he was cheating on his wife.
No.
But
I certainly...
But I also think that a lot of politicians are doing this, and
most.
I don't, again, don't think that that's a very good excuse.
But
I just also feel like when you talk about people who would be a good city comptroller, then the name Elliot Spitzer may come to mind.
Yeah. And the thing is, more so than what, like, I don't know that I want to be friends with Elliot Spitzer. I don't like that he was being a sleazebag. I want, however, to elect someone to the job of, really, anyone that I'm looking to elect, but to comptroller, to mayor, to whatever, that I think will do a good job.
Yes.
Whether or not they're sleeping with hookers.
Well, right. And
as a constituent, that's really not my concern.
No, and that's the thing, too. He did not lie to you when you were his constituent, and then
somehow mysteriously not be where he said he was.
Right, because I don't
want some other people we know who are going
to
be.
Right, because I don't want people to think that we're being hypocrites about the Mark Sanford scandal.
That was totally different.
Because Mark Sanford lied to his constituents
and
literally was cheating and like told people he was elsewhere and like was going to a foreign country to sleep with his.
Yeah. I feel like as long as Elliot Spitzer and Anthony Weiner and all of these people who've had these sex scandals, as long as their sex scandal was not in some way making it so that they couldn't do their job.
Correct.
Effectively, so that they didn't do what we swore them in to do and what we elected them to do, then it's not my business. If Elliot Spitzer had been sleeping with hookers in secret locations while pretending to be in Albany, that would trouble me.
That's upsetting.
You know?
Yes.
But that's
Anthony Weiner was no less of a congressperson for tweeting naked pictures of himself.
No.
Some dumb
He wasn't not representing his constituents because he's a stupid, you know, person who doesn't know how to use Twitter correctly.
Right.
Like, that's, in his own time, he's allowed to be an idiot.
Right.
As long as he's representing his constituents to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing.
That's what he was doing. Yep.
Whether or not he was tweeting dick pics to people.
Yep.
Oh,
boy.
More election news.
More election news. Brian Schweitzer from Montana.
Yes.
Just said that he is not going to run for the U.S. Senate. And a lot of people thought up until very recently that he was going to be running.
Right. He had been the governor.
He had been the governor. It's a red state. He's a Democrat. It's Max Baucus's open seat.
Right.
It's like
a red state Democrat seat.
Right. Exactly. So,
Max Baucus is someone we hate, however.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's the worst.
Anyway, we have often said that we would just prefer a Republican be in that seat, so maybe we're going to get our wish. Because that seems like that's what's happening.
Exactly.
This is sort of one of those seats where the Democrats really sort of probably needed to win to sort of...
To keep their...
The Senate is going to be in play next time, which is sort of unfortunate.
Troubling.
However, the Senate has supposedly going to have been in play for, like, the last couple election cycles, and they keep electing, like, loonbag Senate candidates.
This is the problem.
So perhaps somebody from Montana will talk about how awesome raping women is, and then we'll just be in big business here in Montana.
GOP candidates for Senate have been taking themselves out of play routinely.
Right.
For, like, all of the last decade, basically.
Yeah, really.
There's been nonstop stupidity coming out of the GOP Senate candidates' mouths.
Uh-huh.
So, there's always a chance that they'll run some loon bag.
But there's Democrat incumbents who are retiring in Montana, in South Dakota, and in West Virginia, and then there's also there's open seats in Iowa, and there's another open seat elsewhere, I can't remember where, but like, the Republicans need to get six seats to take back over the Senate,
and there are six seats
to be had.
Yeah.
So this was sort of a bit of a downer when he announced that he was not going to run. Now, like I said what was going to happen with Rick Perry.
Brent knows what's happening.
What's happening here.
Based on no information, I called Rick Perry
last week, and I meant to call the Trayvon Martin case.
You called
it
to me before the podcast, and then I just forgot to talk about it.
I think he's going to run for president.
Yeah. Why else is he suddenly taking himself out of a race for no foreseeable reason?
There's no reason on earth to not run for the Senate seat.
Yeah.
You were the governor. You're a huge national politician. He just had a big speaking spot in the at the DNC this year.
He's a guy who could get elected to that
seat.
Wear
a fun little bolo tie, which dumb people in the Midwest and
people need to stop
like,
wearing bolo ties.
Stop
PS.
Doing that.
Never a good idea.
He had that terrible speech where he was like, what was it? Like, this dog will hunt or something? Do you remember that speech?
That speech.
It was brutal.
It was terrible.
So bad.
That's why he represents Montana.
Well, that's...
That state.
Yeah,
it's a state where you can say that shit and wear a bolo tie.
Being a person from Iowa, That'll play.
Yeah.
That dog will hunt, if you will. So that's it. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Potentially.
You might think you heard it here first.
Yeah, right? I haven't heard anybody else say
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And we made it up.
So that means I said it first. So, we made it up right now.
So yeah. that's... So if we're making stuff up, then we
invented
one, it.
This one, we won't know for a while. So it may be 2 years
Hold
from now
to it, though.
When I get to say I told you so, but nobody you'll, on earth loves to say I told you so more than I do.
You'll remember.
So I'll remember that yeah. I said it. I'll remember the date.
We'll be able to confirm by giving you a clip of this podcast in which we said it. And a exactly. backlink. It's
yeah,
going to be.
Totally.
It's going to be perfect.
But anyway, Brian Schweitzer, 2016.
Yeah.
Not voting for him either.
Nope.
Not voting for him, not voting for Hillary Clinton.
Nope.
We got a whole list of potential 2016 candidates that I've not voted for right
I know.
Now.
I'm not even sure, like, who I am voting for at this point. I pretty much hate everyone.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
I hope that some real left-wing loonbag comes into the race, or I'm going to be really screwed.
Well, they'll have to.
I mean, someone has to.
Somebody has to.
You can't just have a race with freaking Schweitzer and Hillary Clinton. That's like the Republican primary. That's like they're holding a moderate Republican primary.
I know. No, it totally is.
It's not what you want.
Nope.
In any case, if you needed any further confirmation that racism is alive and well in the U.S.,
this
look
story
no
is-
further than coverage of the San Francisco plane crash situation that we talked about last week.
Oh,
the plane crash that took place on the day that everyone and their mother was flying home from their July 4th.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I know multiple people who had to get on planes after hearing
right,
that
after
news.
Right, after hearing about that.
Me and
That's
everyone
not what you
else
want.
All got onto airplanes after hearing about the crash and then thought to ourselves, this is no fun.
Well, no.
But the San Francisco news station, KTVU, apparently got some faulty information about the names of the pilots on board. And I can't figure out how, A, no one caught this. Obviously, this
well,
is...
Right. I Nobody mean, said this aloud prior to the newscast.
You don't need to say it aloud to be like, I should look into this. These names do not look like traditional Chinese names.
Yes.
Like, if you're just a person who works in the news, you've heard names before, so you might have caught that. But also, it's just sort of like a bizarre, like, kind of... it. Like, who confirmed this for them? Like,
well, supposedly somebody from the NTSB
I know.
Did.
Like, the story of how it got confirmed is
that,
very
though.
Suspect.
It's suspect.
Like... If they got it confirmed, wouldn't someone have had to read it out loud? If
yeah.
someone on the phone confirmed this, these names got read at some point.
Some producer or someone
some
had it out for this anchor, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how else something like this happens. But basically, the news anchor
oh,
read it on air, and the names were quite upset. And they were there. They were,
yeah.
They were there. There was like a graphic with the names,
mm-hmm.
and she was reading them. And I'm wondering, my question is, at what point, as she's reading through this list,
was she
does
like,
she know?
Hold on.
Because you would think that after the first one, you know.
Right. After Captain Something Wong, you're wondering. After you read the name Holy Fuck.
Yeah, but the thing is,
she read it as Holy Fook.
Holy Fook, I know. So maybe she either realized at that point and she was trying to save it, or she really... just thought that she was saying all these things correctly.
She also
she did
had
say
to say,
Fook, which is obviously
we too low. That's a pretty obvious one. And I'm a little disappointed because after all of these, Bang Ding Ow isn't as clever.
I know. That's
like what a letdown that it ended that way.
That was the last one. Yeah.
It's the last thing you want. They issued an apology,
of
obviously,
course, had to
because
apologize.
That.
That's something
horrible.
That you apologize
yeah.
for.
But it was definitely one of the weirder moments of coverage and life in the last week.
It totally was.
And it proves that television news is a farce.
I mean...
Come on.
Exactly.
All of television news this week was this freaking George Zimmerman trial.
Well,
Coverage of a plane crash. I
mean, CNN, like we said last week in the podcast, I found all of the information that I needed about the plane crash from CNN. But I have been awfully upset with... I don't necessarily watch that much MSNBC, but I have it on
oh, yeah.
XM.
I, yeah.
In
they're
my,
terrible.
In
they're getting
car.
Terrible.
And I think it's because they're, like I said earlier,
the
ratings are in,
yeah.
in the shitter. But they have been just live
the
broadcasting the George Zimmerman trial, too. And it's been really upsetting to me because I like to turn them on in the morning and sort of
yeah.
like actually get some sort of conversation about things that are happening in the world. But
to
you
do
can't.
That. No.
You can't do
you're
that.
You're not
anymore.
Learning anything now.
No.
Just... learning the same bullshit news that you're going to hear on CNN.
Yeah.
And at that point, CNN is more entertaining. If
well,
you're
sure.
literally looking for entertainment.
Yes.
Then you're not going to turn on MSNBC. It's not that entertaining.
No.
They give a pretty dry reading of the boring news.
Yeah, you want to learn things on MSNBC. Or just have people tell you what you already know.
Exactly.
That's why you watch MSNBC.
Right. You're not watching it to get the fake news.
You know where we're going to be able to get the real news? From
Soledad
O'Brien. Al Jazeera
America?
With Soledad O'Brien. Yeah, Al Jazeera.
Yeah, Soledad's going there.
Our hero, Soledad
O'Brien. Our hero and our other favorite potential news station that we don't have yet are teaming up.
Al Jazeera America. It's happening.
I'm excited about Al Jazeera
I'm
America.
I'm excited about it, too.
There's a chance that being an American station will suddenly devolve into nothing.
Probably. Well,
but
right.
Currently, Al Jazeera is a news network that is providing news.
Right. That is a news network that presumably, once it starts, will not be live, sort of airing 24 hours a day, George Zimmerman trials.
One hopes.
The George Zimmerman trials of the
world. What we hope for from... These aren't lofty goals. We're just hoping that Al Jazeera America will provide us with a station that reports the news.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. It's a news reporting station.
World news.
World news.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we feel like hiring Soledad is a good sign because she was fired from CNN for reporting the news.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. No,
if you want to really know
what happened
according to me.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
So, in any case, we're excited about that. We're going to be tuning in.
Oh, yes.
I don't have the channel, but I plan to tune in regardless.
No, you can come over to my house.
Yeah.
Brand TV. I have everything.
Yeah. Perfect.
I have it all.
P.S. I tried to watch the cooking channel earlier because I was trying to drown my sorrows of not being able to move my wrist in watching cooking shows.
Yeah. What was on?
Well, nothing, because I don't have the cooking channel. So that's...
Oh, well, that's...
But I went to cooking channel on demand.
I love the cooking channel.
There were no cooking shows on the on-demand.
What?
It was all, like, travel shows, like, best pizzas in America.
No, I don't like that
one. I was like, what kind of... The whole point of that channel was that it was going to be cooking shows.
They are sort of entering into sort of, like, that land of just being sort of, like, a second
food network.
But they still do have a lot of cooking shows, which I like. It's surprising that they're not on on-demand, because I feel like, to a certain degree, especially on-demand...
That's what you're looking for from Cooking Channel.
That's what you're looking for, especially on on-demand, too.
We have the Food Network on the on-demand, too. If you want to watch that bullshit...
And the Food Network is just
nothing
terrible. I watch every single thing that is on there, but they're all just... They're all unwatchable.
Yeah.
But yet, there I sit.
It's getting more awful by the moment.
More awful by the moment. Do you know what their new show is right now?
No.
Food Court Wars.
No.
People competing... To win a food court in a mall shop, basically.
No.
It's called Food Court Wars. It's hosted by Tyler Florence, who also hosts the Great Food Truck Race, which is also awful. They are just... That I can't watch.
That's unwatchable.
I say that I watch everything on Food Network, and I sort of will go to some terrible places.
I'll sit and watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives for hours.
Days, hours,
yeah.
Whatever. However,
if it's on for 3 days straight, I will watch it for 3 days straight.
If you've seen them over...
Doesn't matter.
If you've seen them... Chopped, I can watch. I will know who has won an episode of Chopped, and I will
can't
watch it over
yourself.
Again. But I cannot watch Food Truck Race. I can't watch
Food
Court
Wars.
I can't watch Mystery Diners.
I hate that show.
It's too stupid. There are just... I was talking...
I don't care about service issues either.
No. Well,
I'm not watching
also,
Food Network to find out who's being rude to who in restaurants.
Right. Well, and I was listening to... Oh, I was in the car driving home from San Diego, and I was listening to the radio, and there just some song came on, and it was literally, I think it was like that new Emblem 3 song or something, like Chloe or something.
Mm.
Did you remember that song?
Yeah.
I was just like, this song is just, and I like bad music. I'm a big fan of bad
confirmed.
Music. It was too stupid to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that I didn't know how to describe other than just being too bad.
Yeah.
It was just, it was so bad that it couldn't be in my car. It shouldn't be in the world. And that's how sort of I feel about Mystery Diners. It is a show that is just too stupid.
Yeah.
It's too stupid to be on television.
Yeah. And that's...
Saying something.
Quite a feat.
And I like Honey Boo Boo.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Mystery Diners.
So there's no way to watch a cooking show in the world anymore.
No.
That's life.
You can't. You have to watch on your iPad.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's what you do.
Remember when you were watching all those Julia Child episodes on your Kindle Fire?
I've seen every episode of The French Chef.
Yeah. That was what I was looking for. I feel like Sunday mornings are the perfect time to watch a cooking show.
They are.
What else are you going to do on a Sunday morning?
I don't know.
I'm not watching football. Is that a thing on Sunday morning? I don't even know.
Not right now, but yes.
It could be.
In the fall.
Just named that as if that was the sport. I don't know if that's the sport
that
you watch
sport.
On Sunday. That is.
The NFL is on Sundays.
Is there another Sunday sport?
Not specifically Sunday. No.
Football is a Sunday
football
sport.
Football specifically is on,
Sunday
pro football
sport.
Is on Sundays. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm learning a lot about NASCAR. from a book I'm reading.
Yes. But the origins of NASCAR.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Yeah. I recommend looking into it.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Yeah. It's awesome.
The book might be awesome.
Yeah. It's NASCAR made me... itself. NASCAR's terrible.
It's like the dumbest... That's a sport that is too stupid to exist.
Yes. Its original incarnation was not too stupid to exist, though.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because it's all moonshine runners.
No, I like that.
Yeah. It was a bunch of moonshine runners in cars that they had, like, adjusted themselves, yeah, like, in their weekends, practicing the skills that they were using to outrun the police, basically.
I like that.
Yeah. It was a great idea. People were constantly being killed. Fans were being killed. It's the most dangerous thing you can go do with your time. Sure. But it sounds potentially like it would have been fascinating. Yeah. What's not fascinating is anything that has to do with NASCAR now.
No.
It's unwatchable.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's it.
That's the news this week.
Yeah.
It's all terrible. Brent and I have broken bones. George Zimmerman is a free man.
Free man. He gets to keep his gun.
Yeah,
Did he get to
keep his gun.
Isn't that
so
nice?
So kind. Florida so really looking out for back. People. And his brother was like all over the news defending him. And
talking about how he's proud to be an American.
And how hard it's going to be for George to readjust to normal life.
Well, he's
a murderer, so that will be hard.
Correct.
People won't want to be his friend because no one wants to befriend a murderer.
They won't want to hire him. They won't want to be his friend.
That's because he's a known murderer.
Yeah, they're going to be afraid that he's going to shoot them.
Yeah,
in the
exactly.
head.
Yeah, which is a fair assumption.
I was going to say it's a real fear
because he did it to someone.
It's a fair fear.
Yeah. That's not profiling when someone's already done it. You can assume that they're more likely to do it again than someone who hasn't done it.
Correct.
In any case,
all right.
We will see you next week.
Next week.
Hopefully I will have a cool cast with a color. That's what I'm aiming for.
We'll be podcasting from a new place because I'm moving next week.
Oh yeah, Brent's moving, so we're podcasting from somewhere new. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to supervise the move because I can't help.
Right.
You did help. Well,
I helped earlier. Yeah.
But my plan, because I won't be able to carry anything, is to point at things instead. I think that's going to help a lot.
I think, yeah. Somebody needs to.
Someone needs to do it.
If nobody's pointing at things to do, then how does anybody know what they're supposed to do?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where I come in. So we'll see you next week. Be good.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.